There was a very pious and devout Catholic mother. She had several children. One of them was a boy named Louis. She had the custom, as she raised her children, that once they started going to school, they were always required to have a rosary in their pocket. In fact, it was a rule in their house that no one was allowed to leave the house unless they had a rosary in their pocket. As her little boy Louis grew up, she noticed several days in a row that his rosary was on the dresser and not in his pocket. So she prepared to confront the rebellious boy. He came home from school one day, and she said, "Louis, what's in your pocket?" And he said, "Nothing." She said, "Louis, why is your rosary not in your pocket?" And he said, "Mom, I'm tired of having to carry a rosary. I don't like to carry a rosary. The other boys and girls at school don't carry a rosary in their pocket." The mother, with a smile on her face, went to the bookshelf, picked up the family Bible, and said, "Louis, choose." "You make a choice. I'm not having any of my children leave this house without Jesus and Mary with them at all times." Louis took the rosary, put in his pocket, and went and played outside. What did this very pious and devout Catholic mother know? Our second reading today from the letter to the Hebrews says this: "Indeed, the Word of God is living and effective, sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." What did this pious, devout Catholic mother know? She knew that the Word of God, sacred scripture, the Bible, is living and effective, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to discern reflections and thoughts of her heart. And what she knew is that the rosary is the Bible. The rosary is the Bible. And it is how, for over 900 years, we as Roman Catholics have entered in deeply into sacred scripture. So let's talk a little bit about the rosary. I'm amazed at how so many Catholics are unfamiliar with the rosary. The first time that I ever prayed a rosary my whole entire life, remember I'm a product of the 70s and 80s, the first time I ever prayed a rosary was in 1997. I was 21 years old. I had never ever prayed a rosary prior to that in my life. It had never been introduced to me. Now, I knew what the rosary was and the fact that I saw it like hanging from people's Carview mirrors. I had been given rosaries by my grandma and by my aunts, and they were all nicely arranged in my top dresser drawer with all the other religious objects that they had given me. As a priest, I have seen over about 18 years that people who never pray the rosary insist with unbelievable devotion and faith that a rosary be wrapped around their parents' hands who never prayed the rosary as they're in the casket, and that they get that rosary from the funeral director prior to the person being buried. And yet they never pray the rosary. I know if you ask the majority of people, like, "What do you think about the rosary?" And they'll be like, "Well, it's boring, repetitious prayer." So I want to totally clarify right now. The rosary is absolutely not boring whatsoever. And the rosary, actually, if we understand the rosary is one of the most creative and imaginative and exciting things that a Catholic could ever encounter. And that's the premise of this homily, and that is my hope that you take that home. When Louis's mom asked, "Which one do you want to put in your pocket?" she actually was speaking tremendous theology. This is the living and enduring Word of God, which is effective. What does it mean when we say that the Word of God is living and effective? We believe that when you read sacred scripture, when you enter into sacred scripture, that actually those events become present again. That every time we go to sacred scripture, even if you go to the same passage over and over and over again, that it's God's word. It's not just words that were written 2,000 years ago, but that the Holy Spirit is actually alive in the life of the person who is reading that sacred scripture. That's why it's living. When we say that it's effective, well, for those who encounter God in sacred scripture, it's effective. I can tell you that my life has changed because of meditating on scripture. My life as a Christian has changed because I've encountered the Lord Jesus, who I wouldn't know about without sacred scripture. So the Word of God is living and it is effective. And the rosary is par excellence meditation on sacred scripture. You say, well, Father, how is that the case? Because like when you pray the rosary, how are we praying scripture? Because the rosary is 20 mysteries. See, and I might insult a few elderly people here who pray the rosary every day, and I apologize in advance, but nonetheless. The rosary is not about Hail Marys. If we think that the rosary is about praying Hail Marys, then I'm just going to tell you, you do not know what the rosary is about. Because it's not about the Hail Marys. The rosary is about the mysteries that we're supposed to be meditating upon. This is what our reading today from the Hebrews said. That the Word of God, which is living and effective, is able to discern the reflections and the thoughts of the heart. We read in sacred scripture, after the magi come and the shepherds come, and after Mary presents the child Jesus to the temple, the Bible says this: Mary, having received all of this, pondered it in her heart. What did Mary do? Mary, the mother of Jesus, do? She pondered the life of her son in her heart. She reflected upon the life of her son in her heart. So what's the rosary? It's us reflecting on the thoughts of our heart on scripture. And when we say on scripture, we mean the life of Jesus. So what is the whole purpose of the Old Testament, the Jewish scripture passages? To prophesize and tell us who Jesus is. What's the New Testament? Well, the Gospels literally tell us who Jesus is. And what are the epistles, the letters after the fact? People explaining how to live the life of Jesus. The entire Bible exists to proclaim who Jesus is. So what's the rosary? Well, it's the life of Jesus broken into 20 different parts. What's the first joyful mystery? The Annunciation. Which is what? The angel Gabriel coming to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and Mary literally conceives Jesus in her womb and has baby Jesus in her womb. What's the Visitation? Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist, and two pregnant women, and their children not yet even born, who greet each other. Then we then have the Nativity and the birth of Jesus. We then have his presentation in the temple 40 days after his birth. We then have his finding of the child Jesus at the age of 12. We then move to the luminous mysteries, the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, the blessing of water at the wedding at Cana, and turning water into wine. We then have the proclamation of the kingdom, where Jesus preaches and teaches and heals and saves. We then have the transfiguration on Mount Tabor. We then have the institution of the Eucharist. We then have the sorrowful mysteries, which is the agony of the garden, the scourging, the crown of thorns, the carrying of the cross, and ultimately his crucifixion. We then have the glorious mysteries, which is his resurrection, his ascension, the descent of the Holy Spirit. The last two mysteries, after we do 18, were exclusively about the life of Jesus. We then see how the life of Jesus actually is applied to us. Mary's bodily assumption, which is the 19th mystery, is what's going to happen to every single one of you and me, I hope. We profess we believe in the resurrection of the body, which means at the end of our life, our graves are going to rise and your body is going to come out of the grave. That just happened to Mary at the very end of her life because she's the Immaculate Conception. And Mary's coronation is the reminder to every single one of us that one day we will be crowned with glory in our resurrection. So these 20 mysteries that we reflect upon are literally us reflecting on the life of Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior of the world. So when I say it's not about the 10 Hail Marys, it's not. The 10 Hail Marys are solely a time period for us to start a reflection and end a reflection. So when I pray my 10 Hail Marys, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women, blessed for thy name, Jesus, the Holy Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death, amen. That's how fast I pray the rosary, by the way. Because it's not about the Hail Mary. People who pray the rosary are like this, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is, that's totally fine. Mine's a lot faster. But it's not about the Hail Mary. So when I say the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel comes to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and then I pray an Our Father, and I start those 10 Hail Marys, this is what my mind is supposed to be thinking. What does Mary look like? What color is her dress? Is it spring? Is it autumn? Is it fall? Is she outside? Is she inside? What does the angel look like? Do I believe in angels? Have I seen an angel? Do angels visit me? Mary's looking at the angel. The angel's talking to Mary. I can feel their presence. Mary responds to the angel. And Mary says, let it be done to me. Do I say, let it be done to me? Do I surrender my life to God's will like Mary did? Who do I know that's struggling to surrender God's will in their life? Mary's conceived a child. Who do I know that's struggling to conceive a child right now? Who do I know that's conceived a child right now? Who do I know that's pregnant right now? Lord, I offer them to you. Mary now has Jesus in her womb. Dear Lord, thank you for being able to receive you in Holy Communion and to carry you in my body. Dear Jesus, thank you for being with me. Dear Jesus, help me to say yes like Mary said. That's the 10 Hail Marys. That's the 10 Hail Marys. That's the meditation. That's the reflections in our mind and our heart that God desires for us. That's how Scripture becomes living and effective. Many of you might be familiar with a form of prayer called Lectio Divina. This is Lectio Divina on 20 different mysteries in the life of Christ. And we pray them daily. We meditate upon them daily. Why? Because then they become living and they become effective because they transform our heart, which ultimately transforms our speech, our actions, and our words. The rosary truly is the reflection upon sacred scripture, which allows us to then live it. I'll be honest with you. I wish every single one of you would open up your Bible and delve deeply into sacred scripture. But the reality is that with our life, often that's not even possible. I'll tell you all the times that I pray the rosary. I pray the rosary while I'm driving in my car. Would it be a good idea for me to open my Bible and read the Bible and reflect on scripture as I'm driving in my car? No. I hope you don't text and drive. I can't text while I drive, and that's actually one of the reasons that my phone doesn't receive text messages, because I would read my text while I'm driving, and I would kill people. I would kill people as well if I read my Bible while I was driving. So I don't do that. I pray the rosary. I pray the rosary while I'm running on a very regular basis. In fact, the majority of the time that I pray my rosary, I actually don't even have a rosary in my hand. But you don't need a rosary. Everybody, go like this. Look at your hands. Seriously, how many fingers do you have? Hopefully you have 10. Some of you might have 9, or I don't even know, but whatever. Now look at your palms. This is dead serious. Every single one of you has an M on the palm of your hand. Seriously, look at your palm right now. Everybody has an M on the palm of their hand. And that's to remind you that the Blessed Virgin Mary gave you 10 fingers so you can reflect upon sacred scripture. I pray the rosary while I'm laying in bed. In fact, I never finish the rosary because I normally, like, my head hits the pillow, I am out within 30 seconds. But I always start the rosary. There's a pious belief that the angels will finish the rosary. God wants you to meditate upon His Word, which is living and effective. And what's a great way to do that? The rosary. Listen also what what we hear in the letter of the Hebrews. Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword. Raise your hand if you would agree that our world right now is in a battle. Raise your hand if you believe that there's a battle against the family. Raise your hand if you believe there's a battle against life. Raise your hand if you think there's a battle against Christianity. Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword. I want to introduce you, my brothers and sisters, to a weapon. Saint Padre Pio said again and again and again that the rosary is the weapon of our times. I want to make a deal with every single one of you today. It is October 10th. This month is dedicated to the rosary. There are 21 days left in the month of October. And here is my deal. I want to challenge you for the next 21 days to pray the rosary every single day for 21 days. And I will guarantee you this. If you pray the rosary for 21 days, you will find more peace, more patience, more joy, more hope, more meaning, and more purpose in your life and in your relationships. How will we change the world? I'm just going to tell you. No politician is going to change our world. No politician is going to rebirth Christianity and family values. No politician is going to change your marriage and your relationship with your children, your siblings, and your co-workers. What will change that? God's word, which is living and effective, and is sharper than any two-edged sword. And what will you find? That relationships change when people pray the rosary. Because you want to know what? Two peaceful people have better relationships than two unpeaceful people. Two generous people have better relationships than two selfish people. Two patient people have better relationships than two impatient people. Two generous people have better relationships than two selfish people. My dear brothers and sisters, you will change the world when you allow the living word of God, which is effective and true, to become a deeper part of your life, of your heart, and of your soul. And the rosary is a way that we can change the world. If we want peace in our world, if we want love, if we want joy, it begins with the living word of God, which is effective and is true. Do you know that the church gives you a plenary indulgence for reading sacred scripture for 30 minutes? But do you know that the church also gives you a plenary indulgence for praying the rosary? Because the church knows that the rosary is how, for so many people throughout the ages, is how they have been able to meditate upon God's word, which is living and effective and is true and is sharper than any two-edged sword, to battle out sin and darkness and the devil and divisiveness, which we need now more than ever. My brothers and sisters, this is not for old women. My challenge is not just for the old people in this church. My challenge is for little children. My challenge is for teenagers and for young adults, and particularly men. That's right. Women, I love you, but men, pray the rosary. This is not for women. I will tell you that in my life as a priest, I have had more men that have overcome pornography addiction through the rosary than anything else. Why? Because what is pornography addiction? It's rooted in your imagination and in lust and in fantasy. And what does the rosary force you to do? To use your imagination for good. To imagine yourself at the Annunciation, to imagine yourself in the agony of the garden, to imagine yourself at Calvary, to imagine yourself in the empty tomb, to imagine yourself as one of the apostles, to imagine yourself carrying the cross with the Lord Jesus on the way to Calvary. God gave you an imagination. He gave you the ability to dream. He gave you the ability to think. And the rosary allows you to use it for your salvation. God wants the world to change. And it will change through his word of, they will change to the word of God, which is living and true and effective. To make the deal all the more real, I got to find it. As you leave Mass today, all of you are going to be given a free rosary CD. For those of you who don't know what a CD is, it's like a smaller version of a record. Or it's kind of like an audio cassette tape, but cooler, and there's no Walkman. So, I'm serious about this. In 21 days, if you have less peace in your life, less joy, less purpose, if your relationships have all gone to pot, and you don't believe in God anymore, find me. Tell me about it. And I'll give you $100. I've made this same challenge multiple times and no one has ever come to me. Because when you meditate upon the living and enduring Word of God, your life will always change for the good. My dear brothers and sisters, just like young Louis, we have a choice. May we never leave home without the Word of God, which is living and effective. May we never leave home without the sword, which is needed in this world for the battle that it lays before us. May we reflect upon the thoughts of our hearts with the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in doing so, may we become the saints that God is calling us to be. Amen.